You're listening to WBAI, New York.
Welcome to another episode of Questioning Everything with Tony Bates. I hope your day has been wonderful so far, and I want to thank you for choosing to spend your time and energy here with us in Free Speech Landia. That is to say, WBAI New York, 99.5 FM in the center of your radio dial. We are commercial-free, people-powered Pacifica Radio for the tri-state area and beyond. We are, of course, streaming live 24/7. At WBAI.org. I want to begin this program by stating that I am not a medical professional, I am not a medical practitioner, and nothing I say should be taken as medical advice. All decisions about your health and medicines should be made in concert with your doctors and or medical practitioners. But the professionals are riding along with us during the show. Don't worry, so stay tuned. Let's get it popping. In 1986, Dr. Louis Ignaro of UCLA Medical School made an amazing discovery which has changed Western medicine forever. The discovery was simple. It's one atom of nitrogen and one atom of oxygen, which make up NO or nitric oxide, as it's commonly known, which had widely been considered, not been considered, which is known as a poison when coming from outside of the human body, was actually doing something positive inside the human body. In short, pharmacologist and Professor Ignaro began to study why the human body could use nitroglycerin to prevent heart attacks. What he discovered is that the body converted the nitroglycerin into a gas. That gas is the subject of our conversation today, NO, or nitric oxide. Intrigued, of course, Dr. Ignaro went on to study what else nitric oxide could do within the body, whether or not the body made it itself. That was already a strange discovery, an interesting discovery. He discovered further that not only did it lower blood pressure, but that arteries themselves have the ability to convert it into that gas. It was a vasodilator, prevented blood clotting, and improved blood flow to the heart and throughout the entire body. After some years of study, Dr. Ignaro and his team made a huge discovery that nitric oxide, once produced in the body, could help to prevent heart attacks, could help to improve cardiovascular health, could help to prevent strokes, and could improve so much more within the body. This gas, nitrous oxide, which is, again, produced in our arteries naturally, is a key to maintaining optimal health in the human body. This was unknown just till within the last couple of maybe three decades. So important was this discovery that in 1986, Dr. Ignaro won the Nobel Prize. That's huge. That's how important the gas, the matter that we're discussing today, is. How important? Well, some of you were impacted by this research just last night. As Dr. Ignaro's scientific discovery led directly to the creation of Viagra and its cousins. And congratulations if you used it last night, by the way. But that is why the blood flow is able to increase. What they discovered led other labs to study this in terms of erectile dysfunction and directly based on Dr. Ignaro's work, he and his lab, another lab comes up with Viagra. In fact, the Pfizer company nicknamed him the father of Viagra. But that's not all. Nitric oxide, it turns out, is incredibly important to all of the functions in our body, and we're still learning about it. Again, this is new science. So as a gift we have here on this station, Medical Practitioners, we have a show called Take Charge of Your Health, which airs on Thursdays at 2 p.m., hosted by Kareem Frenari and Carol Peterson. And they are medical professionals, and they brought this incredible information to us, and it really piqued my interest, and I had to jump in on it. So we're going to go in and listen to a bit from the discoverer, the founder, the Nobel Prize winner, Dr. Luis Ignaro, who discovered how nitrous oxide functions in the body and how it works within the system. Again, so important was this discovery that he was given a Nobel Peace Prize for it. So let's listen to his journey, and we're going to come back and talk with you a little bit about it. I remind you, this is a fundraising program. We will be inviting you to dial us at 212-209-2950 to get a package of this nitrate that induces nitric oxide production in our systems. It's going to be a $100 donation at 212-209-2950. And it's going to come with testing strips that will show you, after you take this nitrate product, to show the difference in your nitrate level within your body. So we're going to send you out not only a one-month supply of the medicine, of the nitrate, rather, we're going to also send you out testing strips to go along with it so that you can see the effects. But first, let's get into Dr. Ignaro. You're not going to want to wait. It's only a $100 donation. Up next, we're going to hear from Dr. Ignaro and some of his path to this incredible discovery as interviewed by Chase Tuning and Drew Purot.
Can you please just give us a high-level breakdown of what is nitric oxide? What is NO? What is this component?
Sure. Well, nitric oxide actually has been known for hundreds of years to the chemists. Nitric oxide is a gaseous substance, and it's very simple. It consists of one atom of nitrogen and one atom of oxygen, or NO. In fact, nitric oxide is often referred to as NO. Mm-hmm. It's a lot easier to say. But this is a gas that's been present in our atmosphere for the longest time. And it's not a pollutant by itself, but it can be oxidized whenever lightning strikes, for example, or it increases the reactivity between NO and oxygen to form nitrogen dioxide, or NO2. And I think many people have heard of that. That's acid rain, and that's very, very toxic.
Okay,
but the NO itself is not toxic. The interesting thing about NO is that no one thought that it would have any relevance or bearing, in the human body, and for a number of reasons. One, what would it do? There was no information on that. And also, it's very reactive. It's what we call a free radical, which means it lasts for only a couple of seconds after it's formed, and then it disappears. So how can something with that kind of reactivity exist in the body? Okay. So the way we discovered that it was important was very simply looking at how another drug works, the drug nitroglycerin. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows nitroglycerin. It's the explosive Alfred Nobel used to make dynamite. But in addition, nitroglycerin is used clinically to lower the blood pressure and prevent an impending heart attack. Mm-hmm. Comes as tiny tablets. You take it, and within 20 seconds, it works. Well, for 100 years, nobody knew how nitroglycerin worked. And it was my laboratory that showed that when you take nitroglycerin, your arteries metabolize or convert it to NO. Mm-hmm. So then we bought some NO gas. You can buy it. It comes in a cylinder, just like CO2 or oxygen or nitrogen. And we studied this many years ago in the laboratory. And we found that this nitric oxide gas is a vasodilator. It widens the blood vessels to lower the blood pressure. And we did one experiment after the next and showed that if you're just about ready to have a coronary or a myocardial ischemia or heart attack, that nitric oxide will dilate the vessels and improve blood flow to the heart, deliver more oxygen, and the person won't get a heart attack. And so that's how we first came across nitric oxide, working out the mechanism of action of nitroglycerin. And then, you know, being a pharmacologist, we study the actions of different chemicals and drugs in the body. So I kept studying nitric oxide to see what else it does. And we found that it prevented blood clotting. Mm. It increased blood flow. It did many things. And so I developed this idea that, you know, this is fascinating. I wonder if our bodies produce nitric oxide. Maybe it doesn't just come from nitroglycerin. This is an outside source. Maybe our bodies actually make nitric oxide, because it's so potent. It's a very wild thought. It's what we call thinking outside the box,
yeah, I'm curious
which I love to do.
I'm with you, but I'm curious, how did you even come to that thought?
Well, I mean, here we're testing nitric oxide, and we find that vanishingly small amounts, I mean, tiny, tiny amounts lower the blood pressure. Tiny, tiny amounts prevent the blood from clotting where you do not want it to clot. Okay.
So you were probably linking that to if these tiny amounts are already existing.
Exactly. So I said to myself, wouldn't it be something if our bodies could produce nitric oxide, so that what would it do if our bodies produced it? Well, it might control blood pressure and prevent hypertension. It might prevent unwanted blood clotting, therefore prevent a myocardial ischemia, which is due to a blood clot in the heart, or it might prevent a stroke, which is a blood clot in the brain. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, you know, when we exercise, for example, we get vasodilation or widening of the arteries in the limbs where we're exercising in order to deliver more blood, carrying more oxygen, more nutrients. Mm-hmm. And so I kept thinking, well, wouldn't it be something? That's what I kept saying for like 10 years.
Wouldn't it be something
if our body produced this molecule? So I began to look for it. It took a while, but I eventually, in my laboratory, when I say I mean my lab. I could do nothing by myself. It was my lab. I ran the lab. We discovered that the inner lining of the arteries, it's called the endothelium. The inner lining of the arteries make nitric oxide.
No way.
We had already determined what nitric oxide does. So this was the icing on the cake. Our arteries make nitric oxide for the purpose of preserving cardiovascular health, you know, preventing cardiovascular disease. And it was that discovery in 1986 that landed me a trip to Stockholm.
And I remember reading your story, this moment, this epiphany, you're kind of just yelling out loud. Was it EDRF is NO?
Yeah, yes. Yeah,
right. And it's just kind of this realization that this thing has been staring me in the face of what I've been looking for the whole time, which I think is so fascinating so many times when it comes to discoveries of the human body. And human
exactly. I didn't go into it in that kind of detail, but someone else had discovered that there's some kind of relaxing factor made by the endothelial cells, and he called it endothelium-derived relaxing factor, EDRF. He didn't know what it was. Nobody knew what it was. So that was my hint that, oh my goodness, maybe this is the nitric oxide, you know, that I've been looking for, because it's a relaxing substance, right? It's a vasodilator. And this other guy showed that, and his name was Bob Furchgott, by the way. He shared the prize with me. So he showed it was unstable and that it was a vasodilator. And so we put two and two together, and we went after the chemical identification of this factor, which was very difficult, and we showed it was nitric oxide.
Amazing.
Some of us make a lot of this molecule. Some of us don't. And those who do not make sufficient quantities of this molecule might develop cardiovascular disease. I kept this in my mind, Drew, throughout my college, medical, and graduate education until I was working as a professor. And eventually, I found that molecule, which is nitric oxide. So the moral of that story is never give up.
Let's piggyback off of your statement there, and we talk about some people making more adequate levels of NO, nitric oxide, and some people not. How does the body create NO? How is it created, and how does how we breathe relate to that?
Very, very important questions. When we discovered that the body produces nitric oxide, we did not understand the mechanism. We knew the body produced it, but we didn't know how. And then we, but mainly other investigators, found that nitric oxide is made by an enzymatic reaction in the body. It's very simple. You know, we eat protein. Proteins are digested to amino acids. And each of the 20 amino acids has a different function in the body. But we make one, we have one amino acid called arginine, which is extremely important because arginine is what this enzyme uses to make nitric oxide. The enzyme is very appropriately called NO synthase. Okay. So the NO synthase binds arginine, which has a lot of nitrogens on it, and it takes one of them off and it makes it into nitric oxide. So our body uses enzymes, one enzyme, to make nitric oxide. And once that was discovered, then it was really easy to ski down the slopes to figure out how we could make more nitric oxide to keep us healthy. What are the problems associated with inadequate nitric oxide? How can we make more nitric oxide? What does a healthy diet have to do with nitric oxide, and so on? So you know how science is. One discovery leads to another, until finally you can figure out the entire puzzle.
That's fascinating. You mentioned something right there, which is, what is the problem with not having adequate levels of nitric oxide being produced in the body? What are some of the ramifications that can happen?
Okay, there's a whole bunch of them. When we initially made the discovery that our bodies produce NO, we didn't know what the ramifications were. And then shortly thereafter, we showed that if you don't have enough NO, you'll get hypertension. You'll get high blood pressure because the arteries make nitric oxide to keep the blood pressure down in the normal range. As soon as you start blocking production of NO, hypertension. Same thing. If you block the production of nitric oxide, you can get a stroke because you get blood clotting occurring unnaturally in the brain. If the blood clots unnaturally in the coronary arteries of the heart, you get a heart attack. So NO is required to maintain those functions. Also, if you have inadequate NO, we know now, based on another discovery we made in the early 90s, that males will develop impotence or erectile dysfunction. But let's not leave the ladies out. Ladies who make inadequate amounts of NO will also suffer from erectile dysfunction in the form of they lose their sensual or sexual arousal. They lose sexual arousal,
the libido,
when the nitric oxide levels come down. And the other aspect of it, of course, something that you're an expert in, it's called the brain. The brain depends so heavily on nitric oxide for numerous functions. The most important functions we know about NO in the brain is that the nitric oxide promotes learning, memory recall, recalling information in the memory, and also just you remembering facts and so on. The other point that I always make to graduate students and young investigators is that the brain has more nitric oxide in it than does the rest of the body. And we don't really know why. All we know is that NO in the brain promotes memory recall, learning, and so on. But there's got to be more functions. You know, I think NO is important in the brain to dilate all the blood vessels, to keep the blood circulating in the brain, to keep the delivery of oxygen and nutrients going to the brain. And when you dilate arteries, you also promote the removal or washout of metabolites that can injure the brain, just like they would in your muscles when you're working. And so I personally believe that the nitric oxide is one of the most important signaling molecules in the brain.
212-209-2950. That's the phone number to call again. We have a limited number of these items for your $100 donation. But isn't that fascinating? That just within the last 30 years, we discovered this gas that occurs in the body naturally, which we did not know, but it's so important, so beneficial, that it touches every part of the human functioning. This is fascinating. So, again, reminding you that it's a fundraising program, as many of you listening will know. Instead of commercials, we come to our listeners, and this is our primary fund of or a method of fundraising. We come to our listeners and ask that you donate on behalf of this station. And this way, we can keep the WBAI brand of free speech on the airwaves and keep the corporate pressures outside who would have us tell you different stories and have us lie to you and have us trick you. This way, we can keep our message pure. 212-209-2950 is the phone number to call if you want to get on the line now. You heard already how this works. You heard what Dr. Ignaro discovered. We have it available to you for a $100 donation. We want to hear every phone ringing in here. We want to see them light up. You can also visit give2wbai.org to make a donation there. Or 212-209-2950. We accept your American Express card, MasterCard, Visa. Again, we had a very limited number of these donated, folks. It's only a $100 donation. As you know, that money goes to keeping the station on the airwaves. It goes to keeping the lights on in this building. It goes to keeping the turntables working. It goes to keeping our computers running and making sure that the very minimal staff that we have are able to be paid. The people running the boards, the people pushing the buttons in the studios, this is important for the very function of the station. So your every donation counts and matters. And while I'm on that topic, I want to point out that as an average in terms of our monthly donations and in terms of our buddies, we have reached a level of just a few thousand under $20,000. Well, we've got a new plan in place. What we want to do, folks, is by March, by the end of March, we want to get that average up to $25,000 a month. So we're going to be coming at you over the next few months, but I want to encourage you during this program to consider also becoming a WBAI buddy. Those are sustaining members, people who donate at the level of, $15 a month, $25 a month. Some people do $100 a month. Some people do $200 a month. It should be an amount that's comfortable for you. But these pledges, these donations go so far to keeping this station on the right path so that we can pay our bills each month and so that we know how to direct our money. The more of those monthly donations we have coming in, the better the health of WBAI. It's like nitric oxide for us. 212-209-2950 is the phone number for you to dial. Give us a call and let us know that you are out there, and let us send you this package of nitrates, which helps your body to create its own nitric oxide, which I'm telling you, folks. Now, mind you, you will hear from Dr. Gnaro and the other health professionals who we have on, our own hosts here on the station, that you can get nitric oxide through breathing properly with your mouth closed. You can get it from foods like beets, and you can get it from arugula and butter, lettuce, all of these different vegetables. But if your body already is unhealthy, it needs a little boost to help you to produce and to use properly that nitric oxide. It has a half-life of about 2 seconds. It doesn't last very long. So in the context of a body that isn't completely healthy, it needs a little bit of a boost. And that's the point of our sending this item out to you today. Again, this is a fundraising program. My name is Tony Bates. We are listening to WBAI New York 99.5 FM, and we're offering to you a nitrite product which helps to produce nitrates in the body. It's yours for a donation of just $100. We need about three more people to get on the line, and I'm going to go back to some more of our program, but let's get three more of you donating at that $100 level. We accept your American Express card, your Visa card, your MasterCard, your Discover card, whatever you can do. And also consider becoming a sustaining member. If it's the end of the year and you need a tax write-off, WBAI is the perfect place. Make a $200 a month donation. Write that off on your taxes. Some of you out there can make large donations like $500 or $1,000. It's the end of the year. If you need that donation, make that donation here and let that donation serve this entire community as we do our work here based upon the fuel that you give us, and that is your donations. 212-209-2950. So here's the thing about this item that we're offering to you folks. You can't go to the store and buy it. You can't look it up online and buy it. It doesn't come over the counter. You can only get it from a medical professional. Luckily for us, we've got medical professionals on the air here at WBAI. And they done did the do and got these items donated to us. So I want to shout out and thank Corrine Frenari and Carol Peterson of Take Charge of Your Health, which can be heard here on WBAI Thursdays at 2 p.m. They are medical practitioners, and they've gotten this limited amount of these packages donated to us that is medical-grade nitrates, which help to produce nitric oxide in the body, along with testing strips. They've been donated to us by Berkeley Life for our fundraising efforts. And I want to shout out and thank Berkeley Life for coming through and supporting WBAI during our efforts to raise money. They're available exclusively to our listeners today for just a $100 donation. That is, again, a one-month supply, 60 pills, along with testing strips so that you can see the actual change in your body. You can prove to yourself that there has been a change in your physiology. 212-209-2950. That's the phone number for you to call. In our next clip, Carol and Corrine speak with their guest, Beth Shirley, on nitric oxide and its pathways in the body and its general benefits. We're going to go to that next clip. I need you to keep those lines ringing. I asked for three callers. We got two. We can use one more. It's just a $100 donation. We accept your American Express card. We accept your Visa card. We accept your Discover card. And we accept your MasterCard. And remember, we take that $100 and we stretch it into 50,000 watts of people power radio, because that's our get down around here at WBAI. 212-209-2950. Our next clip is from Takes Charge of Your Health, and you're going to hear the voices of our hosts, Corrine Frenari and Carol Peterson. Stay tuned.
Nitric oxide governs circulation and microcirculation. And microcirculation, that's where all the magic happens. That's where the cells are fed the oxygen, glucose, and nutrients. But just as importantly, the debris to be carried away. Because you've got to take the trash out, too. The cell can't be more than two cells away from a functioning microcapillary. And nitric oxide governs that.
So this nutrient, as we said, is literally a miracle molecule that governs circulation to all the cells. So therefore, it would have an effect on all our physiologic actions. When I first learned about nitric oxide, it was many years ago, and they talked about cardiovascular disease. 100% cardiovascular disease. That's what caused this disease. In the last 20 years, the research has exploded. So not only do we have a better understanding of how it works, but we have an understanding of how it works in every cell. Therefore, you can say that it's the basis of every disease. Can you explain that to us a little more clearly, please?
How is sure. So all chronic disease, they're characterized by like four things. One, low blood flow. Two, inflammation. Three, oxidative stress. And four, immune dysfunction and dysregulation. And nitric oxide controls all four of those.
So, Beth, maybe we could talk a little bit more about what nitric oxide actually is. And the chemical symbol for nitric oxide is
N-O. Right.
And the N is nitrogen. So we're really talking about how our body uses nitrogen. And this is sort of fundamental. And this information really has not been out that long, only a couple decades, that we've actually discovered this little molecule, which is actually a gas. And then we need to be mindful of the gases in our body. Think of oxygen and carbon dioxide. We have another important gas, and it really contributes to our health in a major way. But I think what I'd like to maybe have you explain a little better how this flow of nitrogen works, both in our bodies and in the food that we eat.
Okay. Well, let's start off by saying, like, how our bodies make this nitrogen oxide, not N-O. So we make it through two pathways. One pathway is through an enzymatic pathway called the NOS, N-O-S, nitric oxide synthase enzyme. This enzyme takes arginine and oxidizes it into nitric oxide.
So arginine is an amino acid.
Right.
And where do we have, is it arginine that we eat or arginine that our body already has?
Arginine is a conditional amino acid, mm-hmm. So we get most of it from what we eat.
Okay. And what kind of foods are
proteins. Proteins.
Okay. Proteins. Any proteins in particular?
Nuts and seeds.
Nuts and seeds, right.
Mm-hmm. But at the same time, when our body isn't in optimal health, it cannot convert arginine to nitric oxide.
Right.
So we can't really depend on that pathway to be able to create it. We really have to look at something broader than just that pathway. As a matter of fact, with high arginine and citrulline, which we see many supplements out there, arginine, citrulline, to make nitric oxide, the end result is that it's very often blocking our ability to make nitric oxide.
Yes. That's
the understanding that the quality of what we are offering and the understanding of what we are offering is the ability to get this nitric oxide into our system, to our cells. You know, nitric oxide is normally, it's a gas. And why don't we have a blood test for it? Because it's only there for seconds. And we can never measure it that way. But yet it has an effect on every single cell it touches. It affects the mitochondria. It attacks the cell membranes. Every function that we have as human beings can be moderated and very often is blocked by lack of nitric oxide. Is that not true?
No, that's true. That NOS enzyme, though, is so environmentally sensitive. So even by the time we're 40, it's only functioning about 50%. And by the time we're 60, it's only functioning about 15%.
15.
Whoa. So that's why cardiovascular disease is still the number one killer in the United States.
And
but it also, that's why it's so imperative to support the other way we make nitric oxide, which is the nitrate to nitric oxide pathway.
And exactly, can you explain that pathway to us?
Sure. We consume the nitrates in like high nitrate veggies, like arugula, spinach, bok choy, celery, beets, butter lettuce. We consume the nitrates they get absorbed, they circulate around, they get concentrated in the salivary gland. Salivary glands release the nitrate, and we've got good bacteria on our tongue that will reduce that nitrate to nitrite. Nitrite is the nitric oxide donor molecule. We swallow the nitrite. In the acidic environment of the stomach, some of that nitrite gets reduced further to nitric oxide. Here's your protection against E. coli, H. pylori. But most of the nitrite gets absorbed, and in different tissues, they can reduce that nitrite to nitric oxide on an as-needed basis. Like in the muscle, the myoglobin. Like when you're exercising and your muscles need more juice, more oxygen, glucose, and there's more debris to be carried away, your muscles can reduce that nitrite to nitric oxide. In the electron transport chain, in your mitochondria, when there's too much oxidative stress, the mitochondria can make more nitric oxide from that nitrite to help recouple that mitochondria. So that NOS enzyme is so sensitive and gets uncoupled or dysfunctional by age, lack of exercise, stress, pollution, glyphosate, EMF. We're swimming in this sea of EMF. Medications like antibiotics, antifungals, antidepressants, birth control pills. That's why they don't like women over the age of 35 taking the birth control pills, and especially if they're smokers, is because of that cardiovascular complications.
And
PPIs.
Oh, the proton pump inhibitors. Do you want to, what are a few? Pulsed?
Prilosec.
Prilosec. We can get those over the counter.
Now, when they were put on the market, I remember back in the 90s, like the insurance wouldn't pay for more than a 6-week supply.
Exactly.
And now they're over the counter and people have been taking them for decades.
Exactly.
Yeah, we've talked many times about stomach acid and digestion on this program. So people do often reach for these things and continue to take it without having any idea of the constant damage that's occurring.
Powerful stuff there, folks. Very, very powerful. And again, cutting edge information. This is the kind of information that we get on WBAI. This is why your donations matter. Because we get to bring you this kind of thing that isn't widely spread in the mainstream media. When have you heard 60 Minutes talking about it? When have you heard whomever it is? I don't know who still watches the mainstream news anymore. But when have you heard them talking about this kind of thing? I want to say something about Corinne Fornari, having worked with her for so many years. She brings cutting-edge medicine to the airwaves on a regular basis. But she only brings it after she knows it works, often testing the items on herself and her family first before she presents them to our WBAI listeners. This is a person of high integrity. This is a person who appreciates you, the audience. This is a person who does not want to rip you off. She's not making money for doing this. She's not getting paid from WBAI for doing this. She's doing this because she believes in better health for you. And for this station, your $100 donation today at 212-209-2950 improves the health of WBAI. And we send out one of these nitrate packages to you, which is a one-month supply, along with the testing strips for your $100 donation. 212-209-2950. I have great respect for this woman and her integrity. I have great respect for her sticking to her guns. I've seen her be attacked at this station for her positions. I've seen them come out in the wash and her be right over and over and over. That alone is a reason for you to donate in support of this station, in support of her work, and to tune in on Thursdays at 2 and listen to Take Charge of Your Health. Right now, though, we're focused on getting one of these limited packages out to you. the nitrites that you've just heard about, that they were just discussing with their guest, Beth. These are available for a $100 donation. Just $100. We need you to make that call right now. 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950 or visit WBAI.org. Make your donation there. Pick it up, but don't wait, because I guarantee you we will run out of these because they were donated from Berkeley Health, Berkeley Life. Thank you very much. And they donated a limited number. So I need you to get on the phone and make that call. Step up, support your own health while you support the health of WBAI. 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. Is this the next step that you need when you hear how important nitric oxide is to the functioning of the human body, to the functioning of our brains? Check this out, folks. Our brains have more nitric oxide than any other organ in the body. And science still doesn't know why. They're still trying to find out. The organ most saturated with this gas, this substance, this molecule, often referred to as the miracle molecule, you know, is saturated in your brain. Science can't explain it. They're searching right now to find out. I say use your brain to tell your fingers to dial 212-209-2950 and let us send this package out to you. It's impactful. Again, this is coming from a woman whose integrity cannot be impugned when it comes to what she does here on WBAI. I stand behind Corinne Frenari. I am telling you, I've met with her, I've spoken with her, I've been in meetings with her, I've spoken to her personally, on the phone and off, in person, and at work and in private. She's the real deal, folks. So when a medical professional of that level brings this kind of item to the table, I bet you better jump on board. 212-209-2950. That's the phone number to call or visit. Give to WBAI.org. As we are in the holiday season, we are encouraging you to consider becoming a WBAI buddy. We're trying to raise up our monthly rates. We need to do that in order to keep this station moving forward, moving ahead. We've been stagnant at a certain level for quite a while, and we got to pick it up a bit. We need your help for that, of course. So if you can become a WBAI buddy, please consider that. Give $15 a month. Give $200 a month. Give $25 a month. Give $500 a month. I once took a donation out at the West Coast station for a $1,000 a month donation. So I know it's possible. I'm not asking everyone to do that. Many of you will give $20 a month. Many of you will give $25 a month. But it is imperative that we pick those levels up. So if you want to become a buddy, please consider that. But right now, we're offering you this incredible item from Berkeley Life. It is nitrites, which increase the nitric oxide in the human body. And we are learning that it is important to almost every function. Anywhere it touches in the body, it is highly, highly important to human health and life. 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950. I want five more callers on the line before we get back to the rest of this. We're going to go back to another clip from our program, but we need to get about five more people on the line first. Calling at 212-209-2950, making that $100 donation. And remember, they had a limited number of these donated to the station. And there's another point I want to bring up here too. The station, we here at the station at the who make these decisions wanted to make this a higher priced thank you gift. Corinne and Carol fought back, pushed back and said, no. This is too important. We need to get it out to the audience. And so management listened and lowered this donation so that it would be accessible to more of you. 212-209-2950. In our next clip, we're going to go back to Corinne and Carol and their guest, Beth, and we're going to hear a little bit more of how nitric oxide functions in the body, why I was so struck by it, and why it's so important for you to have this information. This is groundbreaking information. It's not widely known. It's still being discovered, basically, how nitric oxide works in the body. But guess who's on the cutting edge of it? Corinne Frenari. Guess who's on the cutting edge of it? Carol Peterson. Guess who's on the cutting edge of it? WBAI. And why? Because you and you and you decided at some point to make a donation to this station to keep free speech on the airwaves, to keep cutting-edge medicine on the airwaves, to challenge the mainstream. We thank you, but please continue to dial 212-209-2950. Three more of you. 212-209-2950. $100 donation on your American Express card, MasterCard, or Visa card. Or maybe you feel like you don't need the nitric oxide and you just want to become a BAI buddy, and you can donate $25 a month to the station on your American Express, MasterCard, Visa, or Discover card. 212-209-2950. In our next clip, we're going to go back to Take Charge of Your Health and listen up and hear further how important nitric oxide is to human function.
Nitric oxide can be a low nitric oxide because it is our body's natural vasodilator that it can be a reason for hypertension.
And, exactly.
And very often we go to treat hypertension and we call it non-responsive.
Well, that's because they don't have enough nitric oxide for those medications to work with.
Exactly. So you need the nitric oxide to be able for the medications to work. And that's exactly. Such a powerful statement that there we are giving more and more hypertensives and the people aren't responding. But then there's another piece of that is diabetes. Our insulin resistance
is a nitric oxide deficient state.
Exactly. Oh my goodness, this is really a fun talk because we all agree.
Yeah, well, there's you know, how do you know you're nitric oxide deficient? Well, for sure, if your blood pressure is up. Number two, if you've got diabetes or insulin resistance, you're nitric oxide deficient. You've got erectile dysfunction either in men or women. So you've got sexual dysfunction in men or women. You're nitric oxide deficient. And if you have any cognitive disorders, cognitive impairment, you're nitric oxide deficient.
Uh-huh. And there is even more than that. How does this connect to COVID and the ability to resist a virus? Let's not even say the word COVID.
No, I never say the word COVID.
Resist viruses and the ability to get over viruses. You know, after this recent virus, one of them anyway, what people have is cognitive impairment.
Right.
They're having clotting.
That's all nitric oxide deficiency. I have been talking about this and writing about this for the last 2.5 years. There are some webinars
on
the Life Professional page where I've talked about this immune dysfunction and nitric oxide deficiency. So all the reasons you get this virus to begin with is because you're nitric oxide deficient. The spike protein makes your nitric oxide deficiency even worse. So this is why you've got impaired circulation, you've got impaired cognition, you've got clotting is from this
fibromyalgia pain.
Yep.
Neurologic pain.
Exactly.
Fatigue.
From the nitric oxide deficiency. Yep.
So there's quite a bit of this going on. They've even called it long COVID.
Right.
And people have gotten sick and they never return to normal or so it is. Like we're now into 2 years and some people from early on.
According to the allopathic doctors, it's not treatable. However, they don't.
Holistic doctors are treating it. Not at all. You never hear this. The number to call is 212-209-2950. This is an amazing supplement, but let me tell you one other thing. This supplement is only sold to practitioners, and that's the uniqueness of it. That's why we feel so privileged to be able to offer this, and that they're supporting this program and supporting BAI. So that's a 1 month supply. It's a $100 donation. The donation is for your health, but it's also for WBAI's health. The two go together. And the number to call is 212-209-2950. And that's a nitric oxide pack that you can go on the internet and search it. You can go all over and search it. But you are not going to get this one who had the very specific one that has studies behind it that shows through testing the difference in your body. You know, I know, Beth, I'm preaching to the choir, but there's 40% of people who take Cialis or Viagra, right, and they don't respond.
That, no, it's actually,
can you 50%. Explain that to us? 50%?
Right. 50% of the people don't respond to these. They're called PDE5 inhibitors. And
okay,
that's your Viagra, Cialis, Levitra. So those drugs allow the nitric oxide to hang around longer, but you still have to have enough nitric oxide.
Exactly.
For those drugs to even work. And so the ED part is a nitric oxide deficiency to begin with. So even by just supporting your own body's production of it, you might not have to even go down that road.
And we here at WBAI hope you don't have to go down that road either. This is new science, folks. Researchers are still learning just how pervasive and important this miracle molecule, as it's called, is to heart health, organ health, arterial plasticity, brain health, longevity, and general human homeostasis. Studies are literally beginning to show that more nitric oxide in the system can lead to a longer life. But they're still working on it. They've only been studying it for 30 years. But they're at it. So this is why it's on the air here. The product procured by our medical practitioners, Corinne Frenari and Carol Peterson, is unique. Not only because it prompts the body to produce and use nitric oxide, it is also unique because it touches everything in your body. It's unique because the mainstream media isn't talking about it. It's unique because it's new science. It's unique because it's something that every human has to use and process. And we've got it here. Thanks to our leading edge medical practitioners who do shows here. Thanks to WBAI management for having folks like that on the air. Folks like Dr. Kokai, folks like Corinne Frenari, people who stand up to the mainstream and tell a different story. That's why we exist. That's why we ask for donations instead of taking money from corporate outsiders, so that we can bring you the leading edge, so that we can tell the stories that we want to tell. So again, our professionals have obtained just a limited number of these gifts. They are yours for a $100 donation. The package includes a 1 month supply along with testing strips, so that after you take the medicine, and only shortly after, if you heard in the interview there, just a short while after taking it, you can put the strip inside of your mouth and see if you have in fact been affected, if your nitric oxide is at a higher level than it was before. That's all for a $100 donation. But remember, what you're donating to is Free Speech Radio. Remember, what you're donating to is WBAI. Remember what you're donating to is your own better health, as well as the better health of this radio station. So we want to express our gratitude to our medical professionals, our practitioners who are here on the air. We want to thank them for bringing this forward. And I want to encourage you again to check out their show. It's a fantastic program here on WBI Thursdays at 2 p.m. Without them, I wouldn't be having this conversation with you, but we are. And again, I remind you that Corinne is always on the cutting edge. History has shown that she was on the right side of the pandemic discussion even. It ain't, history ain't even that long ago. The pandemic is over, and it turns out her positions were the scientific positions. That's why we have a WBAI. That's why we use our independent thinking here. That's why we have practitioners like that one. That's why we have hosts like we have across this radio station, so that we can tell the people's story. The mainstream is retracting that stuff they said now. Corrine ain't. 212-209-2950. A $100 donation gets you a 1 month supply of this nitrite product and a set of testing strips. 212-209-2950. Pick up the phone, make that call. It's a $100 donation. We accept all of the major credit cards, the MasterCard, Visa, Discovery, American Express, whichever you choose to use. But pick up the phone, make that phone call. Be a part of keeping this station great. Be a part of keeping people informed. You know, there are elders all over the tri-state area who live on fixed incomes. And they get to listen to this cutting-edge information because someone like you, who could donate $100, chose to make that donation. You have served yourself, you have served WBAI, and you have served your larger community. That's the impact of a donation. 212-209-2950. I dare say it's wise for us to give Corrine Frenari our ear, to listen to what else she has to say, because she's already been proven right over and over and over. And it is her diligence and her care for this audience and her love of healing people that brings cutting edge medical information to these airwaves. What a gift we have here. This can only happen, though, because of you. Because over these past 60 years, you've been donating to this station, keeping us on the airwaves, keeping us functioning, keeping us moving forward. And we're planning to grow. We're planning to bring up our levels every month of our monthly donations. We're behind where we ought to be, but we know that we can raise those. So if you want to become a WBAI buddy, consider that. Donating at the level of $20 a month, donating at the level of $35 a month, donating at the level of $50 a month, donating at the level of $15 a month. Something that's comfortable for you. But those donations go a long way to keeping the station viable. We can see the rise of fascism in the country. We can see the rise of Trumpism in the country. We can see the rise of all kinds of craziness that we thought we'd never have to look in the face again. But it's rising, even under the president that we voted for. So it's imperative for us to have a voice like this one. The only voice that we have like this one, that is WBAI 99.5 FM. Keep that in mind as you dial 212-209-2950. We're running out of time here, folks. It's the end of the hour. I want to encourage you to pick up the phone and make that donation. Again, we have a limited number of these items. They are not going to stay here. They will run out of the door. And we want you to get one and to see how this impacts your personal health. Again, I'm not a medical practitioner. I make no claims about this. We're going on the advice of the medical practitioners. 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. There's a reason that nitric oxide is called the miracle molecule. It's so impactful in your body, and we're grateful that we can present it to you here on WBAI. But we need you in order for us to keep this a closed loop, to keep this circle going so that we are serving each other. And that means you pick up the phone and dial 212-209-2950. I'm running out of time here, folks. I need you to get on that line. Make that donation right now. 212-209-2950. We don't have much time left, and we need to see the phones light up. Your donation keeps this station strong and thriving. That's why it matters. It's going to impact your health as well as our health. And when we can serve each other, what better way is there to do things? And this has been Questioning Everything with Tony Bates. Thank you for your donations.
this is G Love on WBAI, New York, New York.
Justice, or there can be no peace. I'm Mimi Rosenberg, and this is an Equal Rights and Justice special for WBAI 99.5 FM, where every day is and must be Women's History Month Day. Embedded in the month of March, which is Women's History Month, this year's theme is celebrating women who tell her stories, which aims to honor and recognize the contributions of women who have made a significant impact for the furtherance of democracy towards equal rights and justice, and to build that beloved community dreamed of by the late Martin Luther King Jr. One of the most significant aspects of Women's History Month is it's education. We must use this time to teach about women throughout history who have fought for equality and justice, and are trailblazers who continue to make a difference. And as we celebrate Women's History Month this year, it is essential to remember that there is still so much work to be done toward achieving gender equality. So we seek to inspire future generations of girls and young women, our LGBTQIA siblings, to dream big and believe that they too can change the world. To help us do that, Dr. Clarence Lussain is a professor, former chairman of Howard University's Department of Political Science, and current director of the International Affairs Program. He's an author, activist, scholar, lecturer, and journalist. No underachiever there. For more than 40 years, he's written about and been active in national and international human rights, anti-racism politics, diaspora engagements, U.S. foreign policy, democracy building, and social justice issues such as education, criminal justice, and voting rights. His most recent book, for our purposes, is $20 and Change. Harriet Tubman and the Ongoing Struggle for Racial Justice and Democracy. Ah, Harriet Tubman. Negro slave, about 5 feet tall, scars. Scars on her neck and her deep scar on her forehead. Plain woman, looks harmless, but carries a gun. Wanted for helping slaves escape on the Underground Railroad. Reward, $40,000. Wanted, dead or alive, Harriet Moses Tubman. Quote, I freed 1,000 slaves.
I could have freed 1,000 more if only they knew they were slaves. And now with the wonderful Dr. Clarence Lussain, Harriet Tubman's vision of democracy, and we are so pleased to have you with us.
Thank you.
So that was a description that I read from what might have been or not. That is the description of Harriet Tubman, an actual wanted poster, but she was wanted. But the thing that is most interesting to me about your book, $20 and Change, and we'll get to what that means if people haven't figured it out already, the $20 bill hint, Harriet Tubman and the ongoing fight for racial justice and democracy. Your book has such... I really revere it in so many ways because it doesn't leave her as just this almost... bigger than life, fictional type character who did the impossible, although she did. It places her in the context of women and women's struggles from time immemorial and through the unrealized democratic vision that Harriet was in fact struggling for today. So I wonder if you can take us up to that fabulous context that you help us understand the marvelous Harriet Moses Tubman.
So again, thank you for having me. And most people, you know, I was an admirer, of Harriet Tubman. Just the story that we knew about her that we learned in elementary school, that she escaped herself out of slavery in 1849, and then she went back numerous times to rescue family members and others. And again, this was by foot through, you know, challenging terrain, and with, as you pointed out, her being a fugitive. And at any point, if she would have been captured, if not killed, she certainly was going to be put back in slavery and treated harshly. So we knew that story. But when it was announced in 2016 by then Treasury Secretary Jack Lew that there would be changes on U.S. images on U.S. paper currency, and that Harriet Tubman would be put on the front of the $20 bill and replace Andrew Jackson, who at the time they were going to put on the back of the bill. That's still a controversial issue for sure. So I wanted to get some more context, and it immediately struck me that what we were looking at was two very different visions of the country, one of Harriet Tubman's, which, as you pointed out, was inclusive, that included a multi-gender, multi-racial, multi-class perspective on where the country should go, versus Andrew Jackson, who was white supremacist in all the billions of ways you can think about it. And so that's when I began to do some digging. And as I unfolded her story, it became clear that we really had a, at a popular level, limited notion of what Harriet Tubman really had accomplished, even with all we thought she had accomplished. So she was just kind of a, just critical historic figure that touched, so much in her, 90 years of life. And so I wanted to talk about that in the book, but to also frame the proposal to put her on the 20 in the context of the struggles and issues of democracy and race that we're going through now.
If I may, just to depart seemingly from the story which you tell of Harriet Tubman, the issue of education, the issue of education. As I started by saying that this is such a fundamental time, and Women's History Month always is, as was Black History Month, etc., a time to understand and to deal with education. And yet we are up against who gets to tell the narrative, and resting back virtually decades of blood, sweat, and tears from women, from LGBTQIA people, from people of color, from immigrants, who really shaped and gave us more of the division of democracy such as it is in this country, and are still on freedom's paths to realize that. And yet the attack of that narrative in order to raise up American exceptionalism and absolutely blank out, white out, the trauma, the settler colonialism that this country was founded on. How important is that to understand in the telling of the story of Harriet Tubman and the work that you do, Dr. Lessing?
So the battle over history is really a battle over the moment. And how we interpret history is really about how we are interpreting where we sit at any particular time. And so the push to control that narrative, as you point out, isn't just a abstraction. It is very much directly tied to issues of racial justice, women's equality, fairness and inclusion of LGBTQ communities, you know, any issue you can think about, you know, is rooted in the ways in which we think about those issues and how power exploits those moments. And so the accelerated aggression we see right now across the country, from Florida to Texas to everywhere else, to seize control of the education system is directly a result of the victories that happened in the last part of the 20th century, where black people, Latinos, women, queer community, working people put in place a more genuine understanding of how this country unfolded, whose story should matter. And that's to me where the question of the images on the currency come in. My argument is basically that the images on U.S. currency are intentional narratives that tell political, social, and cultural stories that should be sites of contestation, because the way narrative works and the way symbols work, it's best when they are actually unchallenged, when they kind of fold into the background. So all of us carry around currency with images of Andrew Jackson and Alexander Hamilton and all the rest, and don't necessarily interrogate even how those images ended up on the currency, let alone kind of what the historic meaning is, because the way in which history gets taught. And Andrew, you know, the book is not about Harriet Tubman per se. There's some really, really excellent books on Harriet Tubman. But it's really about Harriet Tubman and her in contrast to Andrew Jackson. And as much as we did not know about Harriet Tubman, I would say the same about Andrew Jackson. And the fact that he gets honored in multiple kinds of ways is an erasure of his role as an enslaver, as a slave trader, as a genocideer, someone who participated personally in massacres of Native people, and someone who pushed through the kinds of public policy that furthered the harm and suffering in those communities. So I thought it was important in the book to get both of those more rigorous kinds of histories out there, but then related to the title, symbolism is directly should be directly connected to and is connected to social change. And so the second part of the book is about the uprisings relative to the killings of Breonna Taylor and George Floyd and others, voting rights, the challenge to get rid of these racist public symbols and the issues around COVID-19.
I think the only place I would take issue with you, and we are talking with Dr. Clarence Lussain about $20 and change, and that a book of his, $20 and change, Harriet Tubman and the Ongoing Fight for Racial Justice and Democracy, is perhaps one of the deepest books and the most profound about Harriet Tubman, because it does something that is essential. It gives her an intellect. It gives her a vision. It is certainly about the helping of the slaves escape on the Underground Railroad and the enormity of the risk she took. But it's a vision and a visioning of freedom and the essence of democracy, which she continued to live out throughout her entire long life, despite every obstacle, and which we are still trying to realize today. And the book gives us that that bed, that foundation of Harriet Tubman. And how fascinating, how marvelous it is to imbue her with that intellect and that sense of what liberty means, of what equal rights and justice, what it means to establish a beloved community. So in that sense, I thought that the book is one of the deepest and most important reckonings with this woman who we should certainly seek to emulate, her visioning still to be carried forward and realized. And I want to probe deeper into that. In your research and in your thoughts and in your efforts to contrast Andrew Jackson, this slaver, this murderer of indigenous people, this advocate of genocide, truly. And there's Harriet Tubman contending right. for a space on our national symbol. What was Harriet Tubman's vision as contrasted, and what is a real vision that she gave us of democracy as contrasted to this fraudulent vision that continues to be held up of the Alexander Hamiltons, sorry, Lin-Manuel Miranda, sorry, and people like Andrew Jackson?
So Harriet Tubman, as you pointed out, was a broad visionary. And most of us know her pretty much, as I mentioned, about what she did in helping people escape from slavery. I think less well known is that she played a critical role in the Civil War. She was contracted with the U.S. Military, with the Union Army, and she was a spy. She was a scout. She knew the back fields of Maryland and Virginia, you know, those areas more than anybody else, because she had walked them. And she was a military leader, first woman to lead a military operation. She led about 150 or so black soldiers down the Combahee River in South Carolina, and they attacked Confederate encampments, but they also freed over 700 people who were enslaved, and she brought them back. Not a single person died. Beyond that, though, when the war ended in 1865, she continued to live. She lived to 1913, and that's even less known what her life was like then. But one of the things that I found so rewarding was to read about and to study how she was involved in the suffrage movement and in women's rights. And she was unique in that period because she was in touch with not only white women who were in the feminist movement and the suffrage movement, but many who had broken away from the racial justice movement because they were upset that the 15th Amendment passed in 1870 only included giving men the right to vote, men who had come out of slavery. And so many of them broke with Frederick Douglass and others. But Harriet Tubman was in in touch with those folks, but she was also in touch with black women who had formed independent organizations around women's rights and around suffrage. And so, you know, her notion of justice and inclusion didn't stop with the end of the Civil War. It continued all the way literally to her dying moment, when she was deathly ill and on her deathbed in March, early March 1913. This was right before there was a very famous suffrage march that was coming up in Washington, D.C., and the women, the white women who had been organizing that, had initially wanted to exclude black women, and then sort of retreated and said black women could march at the back, but they refused. People, women like Ida B. Wells, there were women from Howard University, there were other women in Washington, D.C., who said, we're not going to do that. And, you know, they kind of marched where they wanted. But Harriet Tubman, who was dying and couldn't attend, was being visited by one of the black women leaders, and she sent a message, tell the women to stand together, God would not forsake us. So even as she's dying, she's thinking of how to push for more and more democracy and inclusiveness. Now, she, of course, passed away in 1913, so she never got the right to vote. It did not happen nationally until, the passage of the 19th Amendment in 1920. But this was Harriet Tubman's view of the world. And, you know, she refused to meet with Abraham Lincoln, even though Frederick Douglass and Sojourner Truth did. Harriet Tubman thought he was insufficiently active in addressing ending slavery. She was very much considering joining John Brown, but there were circumstances, so she wasn't part of the Harper's Ferry uprising that John Brown attempted to do in 1857. But you can see, you know, she was not just limited to, I'm going to help people just escape out of slavery and then just sort of sit on my hands. And so I think we have to really honor her for her entire life of really a broad vision of democracy. And then, as you point out, you know, Andrew Jackson, who is given credit by too many historians as someone who he founded the Democratic Party and he expanded voting rights for white men. But this was self-interest. He had lost the election in 1824. And he figured that the only way he could kind of recover from that would be when he ran again, was to get more people voting for him. But that didn't include women. It didn't include people of color. It was a very narrow view, and all of his policies reflected that.
Dr. Lassane, tell it like it is. And since you mentioned the Combahee River collective statement, I noticed as I opened your marvelous, marvelous, marvelous $20 and change, Harriet Tubman and the ongoing fight for racial justice and democracy, that you have a quote. That's the first thing you see in the book. If black women were free, it would mean that everyone else would have to be free, from the Combahee River collective statement. Why did you choose that? And for people who may not know the significance of the Combahee River collective statement, and we are speaking with Dr. Clarence Lassane, and this is International Women's Day, and that is our focus. Although, as I said, with WBAI, every day must be Women's History Month.
So, as I mentioned a little bit ago, Harriet Tubman led this raid on down the Combahee River in 1863. In the 1970s, as the women's movement is starting to achieve some victories, and you get, you know, a number of organizations like NOW and others, they're very white, and many black women did not feel at home. But at the same time, there were also many black women who felt the misogyny and problems of sexism in some of the black organizations were also not welcoming. And so you start to see a number of black women's organizations, and one of the most critical ones was the Combahee River Collective. And this was a group that was started by black queer socialist women who did not, again, feel at home either in the black liberation movement at that point, or let me rephrase that, did not feel some of the black liberation movement organizations and some of the organizations of feminists that were dominated by white women. And they had a radical leftist perspective. So they formed this collective. This was up in Massachusetts. And it included Barbara Smith, who's a black woman writer, her sister. There were others. And they both wrote about why they saw themselves at this particular nexus where other organizations could not meet the needs of radical black queer women, but they also saw themselves as active. And so there were issues going on in the area of black women and other women being killed. And so they, you know, became active around that issue. And so they were, you know, were around for a while, but they issued the Combahee River Collective statement, which was really a radical manifesto asserting where black women, and particularly queer black women, and particularly radical queer black women, really were a point for all of the movements to pay attention to, because they embodied all of these intersections that are critical. And then as Kimberly Crenshaw and others developed these notions of intersectionality, they really give a name to what the Combahee River Collective was really saying and doing.
And let me just tell our listeners, I'm Mimi Rosenberg. You're listening to a special Equal Rights and Justice for International Women's Day. And our focus today is Harriet Tubman. And I do want to let you know we're going to take a momentary break and return with Dr. Clarence Lussain with a reading from his book, $20 and Change, Harriet Tubman and the Ongoing Fight for Racial Justice and Democracy. But I want to let you know that this book, a must-have now more than ever, because, you see, we have to build our own libraries. We have to propagate our own information because, yep, they're coming for us. I'm sorry. It's not just DeSantos down in Florida. It's not just Abbott in Texas. They are coming for us. They are coming for our history. They are coming to erase, to rebury that which we pulled out, root and branch, the ugliness, the meanness, the cruelty of discrimination, of disparate treatment, of white supremacy. All that to uncover the real narrative of the development of this country and the meanness of plantation capitalism. We made progress with people like Dr. Lussain, with people like Dr. Gerald Horn, with people like Barbara Smith, and so many others. And what do we have now? Well, we want to make sure that you begin to shore up your own libraries, start your own study groups, educate your own youth, your own work comrades. And so you're going to be able to, if you call 212-209-2950, you can get $20 and Change, Harriet Tubman and the Ongoing Fight for Racial Justice and Democracy, and then an additional special treat, Courage, Strength, and Legacy, Harriet Tubman, Visions of Freedom, the new film by Stanley Nelson, which is superb. To do what? To educate, agitate, and organize, to empower we, the women, to empower people who have been treated disparately, discriminatorily, and we who follow and choose and must follow in
the footsteps of Harriet Tubman, her vision. So you can call 212-209-2950 and you can get the fabulous book, the strategically important book, $20 and Change, Harriet Tubman and the Ongoing Fight for Racial Justice and Democracy, and the film, which we will be playing clips galore from in a little while, Harriet Tubman, Visions of Freedom. All you have to do is call and say, and it feels good to say that. Say her name. Raise her name. Lift her name. Harriet Tubman. Harriet Tubman, called 212-209-2950. $125 contribution for a lifetime's education for ourselves. So we're going to take a momentary break and come back with Dr. Clarence Lessaigne with, I hope, a reading from his book on Harriet Tubman.
Mama's crying long,
and she can't get up.
Mama's crying long,
and she can't get up.
Mama's hands are shaking,
and she can't get up.
Mama's hands are shaking,
and she can't get up.
Mama's running hard
from the boss's man.
Mama's running hard
from the boss's man.
Called her anyway,
the boss's man.
Called her anyway,
the boss's man.
They lie on the ground
again and again.
They lie on the ground
again and again.
I can hear her screaming
again and again.
I can hear her screaming
again and again.
Mama's crying long,
she can't get up.
Mama's crying long,
she can't get up.
Mama's hands are shaking,
she can't get up.
Mama's hands are shaking,
she can't get up.
It was late at night
when she got the knife.
It was late at night
when she got the knife.
She went to his room
when she got the knife.
She went to his room
when she got the knife.
Mama's dress is red,
it was white before.
Mama's dress is red,
it was white before.
Lift it up and see,
it was white before.
Lift it up and see,
it was white before.
Mama's crying long,
and she can't get up.
Mama's crying long,
and she can't get up.
Mama's hands are shaking,
she can't get up.
Mama's hands are shaking,
and she can't get up.
All the men have come,
and they brought the rope.
All the men have come,
and they brought the rope.
They came here for mama,
and they brought the rope.
They came here for mama,
and they brought the rope.
Mama's crying long,
and she can't get up.
Mama's crying long,
and she can't get up.
Mama's hands are shaking,
and she can't get up.
Mama's hands are shaking,
and she can't get up.
Mama's in a tree,
and she can't come down.
Mama's in a tree,
and she won't come down.
Mama's flying free,
and she can't come down.
Mama's flying free,
and she won't come down.
Mama's flying free,
and she can't come down.
Mama's flying free,
and she won't come down.
Mama's flying free,
and she can't come down.
Mama's flying free.
In 1822, an enslaved couple named Ben and Rit welcomed a little girl named Araminta. The new baby was born in Maryland. In the states of the North, slavery was already outlawed, while Maryland and the states to the South relied on enslaved labor.
Maryland was in transition in the 19th century. And more specifically on the eastern shore of Maryland, where enslavers typically had smaller plots of land, smaller numbers of enslaved people working their farms. It really created a different kind of economy, one that required many enslavers to rent out the people they called their property. Harriet Tubman, by the time she's 5, 6 years old, she becomes caught up in that web of being hired out.
A childhood experience in slavery is not a childhood. The idea here is that slavery was a profit-driven industry, and slave owners extracted the most profit from all of their enslaved people throughout their lives.
Well, I wonder, will I ever get back home?
Harriet Tubman's experience of a child was particularly hard.
She did things like work in the swamps catching muskrats, where she got very sick and contracted measles and eventually became so ill she had to be sent home.
Well, it must have been the devil that pulled me in. Yeah.
She was required to clean the house at 6 years old. She didn't know how to clean a house. She also had to babysit a colicky baby who would cry a lot, and every time the baby cried, then the mistress would whip 6-year-old Minty.
Life indoors can be dangerous. You know, this whole business about people in the house having privilege. People in the house are exposed to the slaveholder constantly. When Tubman talks about being with these white women who are enslaving her, it's the wrath and the violence of these women that are visiting upon this child.
But we certainly have myths of white mistresses being the kind slave owner, or, you know, aren't as cruel as their husbands. In truth, oftentimes, women were just as cruel, if not more so. They identified with their husbands. They identified with white supremacy, with white men, and they had the access, which allowed for a greater kind of intimate cruelty on a day-to-day basis.
Young Minty came to prefer working outdoors, where she could breathe just a little freer. She relished any chance to work outside alongside her father, Ben, who was forced to live apart from the family because he was enslaved by different owners.
At the core of slavery is the disunion of the family unit. It was, I'm going to sell your little girl if you don't obey me. Then that's the fear.
Families like Aramintus could be separated, really, at the drop of a dime. Sometimes you were sold away from your family and friends, never to be heard from again. So that concern about sale was something that struck fear, terror, into the hearts of men and women all around the Chesapeake. One of the things happening throughout the early part of the 19th century was the tremendous growth of cotton production, how that completely transformed the lives of enslaved people, how it moved men and women further south to grow what was basically white gold across the southern landscape.
The fear of being sold to the Deep South was real and ever present for enslaved people in Maryland, like Minty and everyone she knew.
Slave sales were constant every week they were going on. Slave traders from the Deep South would roam the eastern shore of Maryland, for instance, and purchase enslaved people and take them to the Deep South. And enslaved people in Maryland knew that that was a death sentence. The average lifespan for an enslaved person who was purchased in the Chesapeake and brought to Mississippi or Louisiana was about 7 years.
Buying slaves was something that people participated in very enthusiastically. Slave auctions were kind of a social occasion in which a lot of people would come around, sort of look and see what was there. Buying a slave was something that many whites saw as sort of a realization of sort of all their hopes about sort of future wealth, because they thought slaves were an investment.
By 1860, the assessed value of enslaved people was more than $3 billion, more than all industry in the North combined. Prices for enslaved people varied by sex, size, age, and health. Women aged 16 to 24 often commanded the highest prices at markets throughout the South because their bodies had the potential to create more wealth for their owners.
typically the slave market was situated within the environment of the courthouse, the green, the public lawn, where the enslaved are bought, sold, and traded.
The reality and the brutality of slavery was front and center. You know, a woman who's hysterical and crying because she's about to be sold away from her children, that's out in the open air for anyone to see.
Menti witnessed the horror firsthand. She watched helplessly as her older sisters, Lina and Soph, were dragged away in chains, screaming, their children ripped from their arms. It was a memory that would haunt her for the rest of her life.
She lived under constant threat, constant terror of being separated forever from her loved ones. When you imagine the psychological impact that this had on a small child, it was a life of terror, of violence, of separation and oppression.
When Menti Ross was about 13, she paid a visit to a store in Bucktown, Maryland, one she had likely entered countless times before. But this visit was different. A chance encounter would change her life forever.
So she was in a general store when an enslaved boy runs in, being chased by his owner or overseer, and she's being asked to hold on to him.
She refuses to do it. The overseer is so furious, he picks up a heavy metal weight and he hurls it in the direction of the enslaved man who's run. But it connects with Araminta's head. It literally fractures her skull.
They carried me to the house all bleeding and fainting. I had no bed, no place to lie on at all. And I stayed there all day and next.
It took her months to recover. She had no medical care. And it left her suffering with seizures her entire life and horrific headaches. And sometimes these seizures would come upon her without notice. She'd be in the field working, and she would just fall to the ground, and she would have tremendous visionary activity. She sometimes felt that she was floating above the earth and looking down at the people watching her lying on the ground.
We don't think about Harriet Tubman as someone who lived with a disability, but she did. She sometimes referred to them as sleeping spells. And it was during these sort of moments of either semi or unconsciousness that she would see things that she understood as signposts from her God.
The visionary side of Harriet Tubman conflated with the intense religiosity of the time and place, so that her visions had a religious dimension and she interpreted them as religious.
As soon as Menti regained her health, her owner Edward Brodus hired her out again. But as she got older, Menti saw a way to use Brodus's greed to her advantage. She offered to pay him a yearly fee for the privilege of hiring herself out to masters of her own choosing. And her world started to open.
She worked in the house and then in their fields, and they were merchants and shipbuilders, and so they sent her to the docks, and she would load and unload things from the ships coming into port. And she became very, very strong. Eventually, she was allowed to work in the forest with her father, who was an expert lumberjack, timber foreman, and ship carpenter. And she became even stronger and more capable.
She wasn't just in one locality, but moving around from place to place. It wouldn't have been shocking to see Harriet Tubman on the roads in Dorchester County. And she knew the landscape because of her travels.
She's a woman who's outside. The watermen that she may be interacting with from the Chesapeake, watermen are very knowledgeable, worldly people. They carry the information because they're on the information highway, which is the waters. So she may have gleaned quite a bit of information from these watermen.
In many ways, the border state of Maryland was unique. There was a large network of over 60,000 free blacks who lived and worked side by side with nearly 90,000 enslaved. In this mix of enslaved and free, the taste of freedom was real and tangible.
One of the distinctive features of being enslaved in Maryland is that you're enslaved in one of the border states, so you're not very far from freedom at any point.
And that possibility kind of changed the way that you could experience your enslavement, that there was a hopefulness, perhaps, that you carried with you.
Around 1844, Minty met a free black man named John Tubman. When they married, Araminta Ross became Harriet Tubman.
When we think about the union between an enslaved woman and a free man, we automatically say, why on earth would a free person, a free man, make the decision to marry an enslaved woman? Why would he do that? Why would he ensure that any children they were to have would be enslaved? And I always sort of answer that question with a one-word answer, which is love.
In the fall of 1849, Harriet's owner, Edward Brodus, died, leaving his widow deeply in debt. Enslaved people knew that the death of a master meant trouble for them. Human property was often used to settle debts. After Harriet watched the widow Brodus sell one group of enslaved people at auction, she decided to leave everyone and everything she knew and loved to run.
She tried to convince her husband John to go along with her, but he was not having any of that. I don't think he was ready to make that trip to the north, understanding that if he was captured, then all the freedom that he did have would be taken instantly.
On September 17th, 1849, leaving her husband John behind, Harriet Tubman stole away into the night with her two brothers, Ben and Henry.
Mimi Rosenberg, and this is a special Equal Rights and Justice for Women's History Month, for International Women's Day. You know, before there was Women's History Month, there was Women's Day, February 28th, 1909, which marked a pivotal moment in history when women stood up for their rights and made their voices heard in the first national Women's Day in New York City. There were a group of Manhattan socialists and suffragettes who organized this event to recognize the first anniversary of the garment strike led by the International Ladies Garment Workers Union, which I used to work for, and my mom was a garment worker. And this meeting was purposely held on a Sunday so people wouldn't miss work. There's so much history, and we'll continue to record this, and Building Bridges is going to do a whole lot more on the issues of the strikes and what happened with marvelous people in March 1910, German activist Clara Zetkin
Erskine, who proposed that International Women's Day be recognized as an international holiday at the International Conference of Working Women in Copenhagen. And all 17 countries in attendance agreed to the proposal. The film goes so beyond the legend of Tubman to explore what motivated her, what included her inspiration to become one of the greatest freedom fighters in our nation's history. Well, I want to make this film available to you along with the book, which we did in the first part of the program, by Dr. Clarence Lussain. The book, $20 and Change, i.e. the $20 bill. Harriet Tubman's face should be on there, versus Andrew Jackson. $20 and Change, Harriet Tubman and the ongoing fight for racial justice and democracy. And I have just 2 minutes to tell you why you should call 212-209-2950, because one, you're not going to be able to hear the rest of the film, and you also want to see it. And two, you're not going to be able to, unless you call in and support the station so that we can continue, keep on keeping on, unless you call 212-209-2950 and ask for Harriet Tubman, you're not going to be able to find out more than Clarence Lussain so beautifully gave to us, but you're not going to be able to find out more about this absolutely praised, essential reading material. It is so engaging. It's so insightful about Harriet Tubman and the influence and imperative that she has and challenge for where we go today. It's challenging. It challenges, really. And what we're doing this morning, is, yes, for International Women's Day, we're bringing you programming that, frankly, we do all the time on WBAI, because as I say and I insist, every day is Women History Month, is Black History Month, is Latinx History Month, is Asia Pacific Island History Month, is Indigenous Peoples History Month, is LGBTQIA History Month, is the History Month of all those people who have been oppressed. It's a history of the working class. And we are here to challenge at its core, the corruption and destruction of the soul that is plantation capitalism, which is the system that exists today that creates the inequities, that thrives off it, and then the control and its policing apparatus to keep people in check. So if you think that's an important message and support this station and want to know more, much more, and be inspired by Harriet Tubman and use her and her life and her legacy and the long tradition she has of resistance to eliminate the ongoing struggle to realize democracy in which her emancipatory vision prevails, then you need a call, 212-209-2950. Support WBAI like you never have before. We need it. It's our megaphone. It's our history recounted, the history of the working class, the history of right to be able to educate, agitate, and organize for in the empowerment of the people, for another world is possible. And when we have the tools being WBAI, and the tools like films like Harriet Tubman, Visions of Freedoms, and books like Harriet Tubman and the ongoing fight for racial justice and democracy that Clarence Lussain spoke about this morning, then we will make it so. And that is the beloved community that Martin Luther King so righteously advocated and gave his life for. So I'm Mimi Rosenberg. This has been Equal Rights and Justice, a good Women's History Month and International Women's Day. And please call and just ask for Harriet Tubman. Support BAI. Get your gifts. They're fabulous. Get the book. Get the film. Harriet Tubman, Visions of Freedom. And educate, and organize to empower with it. Again, Tubman, $125. Support WBAI, whose station, our station, fragile, frail economically, but We've always supported our own right, and we're going to continue to do that. 212-209-2950 for equal rights and justice. Mimi Rosenberg here saying, have the best and ongoing Women's History Month. And you'll do that even better when you pledge and support WBAI and get our thank you gifts. Harriet Tubman, Visions of Freedom. Harriet Tubman, the book by Clarence Lussain. And just ask for Harriet Tubman. What beautiful words to be left with. Harriet Tubman. Thanks for listening. This is the one-minute version of Cat Radio Cafe, a salon of the arts exploring the creative bounty of New York. I'm Janet Coleman, and you are...
David Dozer.
The displaced playwright.
You know, we are asking you, the listener, to become a BAI buddy in the name of Cat Radio Cafe.
Why do we call it Cat Radio Cafe?
Well, it's named for our cat, Lulu.
Lulu is only 7. Cat Radio Cafe is older than that.
Cat Radio Cafe honors house cats who live where a radio is on and tuned to WBAI.
Hep cats.
Yes.
Do cats enjoy theater?
If it's performed by mice.
Become a BAI buddy. Tell them Lulu sent you.
Thanks to you.
Thank each and every one of you for coming by.
And while he's thanking those folks, let me take this opportunity to thank all of you, our listeners and support staff, our contributors, our interns, the volunteers, producers, and the entire crew that works countless hours to bring WBAI into your lives.
Extinction Diaries. More than 3,500 endangered sea turtles were rescued in Texas during the February 2021 cold snap that crippled the state. Sea turtles were experiencing cold stunning, where the turtles become unable to swim or feed. The rehab Sea Turtle Incorporated is located on South Padre Island in southern Texas. By day 4 of the freeze, they had rescued 2,500 turtles. At the end of the same day, another 1,000 turtles were rescued and brought to the town's convention center, where they were warmed up in tubs, tarps, and kiddie pools. Game wardens and community volunteers worked to extract turtles from the Brownsville Ship Channel and surrounding bays. The turtles were at the mercy of power outages, and Convention Center was relying on generators and alternative heat sources. 5 Texas sea turtle species are listed as endangered and affected by the cold storm, along with every other species of wildlife in the region. Many animals have died. The efforts of this single event is a hint as to the amount of attention all humans must turn to saving all species from the 6th grade extinction. My name is Arna Oliveira, and this is a Small World Radio production.
Truth. How do you feel? Like you're rolling so fast that you're spinning your wheels. Don't feel too bad. You're not all alone. You're all trying to get along.
Hey, this is Bernie Ledden. You're listening to WBAI, listener-supported radio in New York City.
WBAI Community Advisory Board meeting is on Sunday, March 19th at 1 p.m. And you are invited to attend. The CAB, or CAB, is an advisory board which reviews programming and other station policies. It represents the diverse views and interests of the communities WBAI serves. If you want to attend the meeting, you can join by teleconference at 619-309-1058. And the PIN number is 641-711. Everyone is invited to call in and join the meeting, and we're happy that more people are now attending CAB meetings. Once again, the call-in number is 619-309-1058, and the PIN number 641-711. We hope that you'll be able to attend. That's the Community Advisory Board meeting, WBAI, March 19th, Sunday, 1 p.m.
Grab our hand and help WBAI
Blossom to help us create more extraordinary and unforgettable shows. Just like you were there for your friend who needed a self-esteem boost before the high school prom, we need you to become a BAI buddy. When you become a BAI buddy, you help us become grounded, stronger, and resilient through these shaky financial times. As a BAI buddy, you can donate any amount of your choosing on a monthly basis. In return, you will receive membership benefits and discounts at local businesses, as well as a signature WBAI tote bag. To become a BAI buddy or for more information, go to give2wbai.org. Join us today and help our dreams grow.
Hi, this is Jerry.